Here we go again. The White House says it's time to raise the nation's debt ceiling.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The House of Representatives gets back to business today after its winter break, and one of the first items on the agenda is raising the debt ceiling again. That's because the U.S. Treasury is about to hit its borrowing limit. Now, the last time this happened, as we all remember, the political squabbling led to a downgrade of the U.S. credit rating. But this time, raising the debt ceiling should be a lot easier, as our Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale reports.
Republicans and Democrats have agreed to a little political theater in order to increase government borrowing without triggering another debt downgrade or stock market swoon. Members of Congress can vent their opposition to growing deficits. They can even vote down a debt ceiling increase. But President Obama can veto their rejection, allowing the debt ceiling to go up without congressional approval, unless opponents can muster a two-thirds majority to override the veto, says American University government professor James Thurber.
The far left and the far right are going to make this very hard to come together and come up with a solution.
If successful, this scenario allows another $1.2 trillion worth of debt, which should get the government through the end of the year. And Congress has agreed to pay for that increase with across-the-board spending cuts, but not until next year. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
China said today that its economy grew 9.2% last year. The gross domestic product figure is a measure of all the goods and services that make up a country's economy. Now, for comparison purposes, our economy was growing at a rate of less than 2% for most of last year. But that may not be a fair comparison, as Marketplace's Rob Schmitz reports from Shanghai.
Some years, India's GDP growth runs neck and neck with China's. Sometimes economies like Paraguay's grow faster than China's. And according to economist Arthur Kroeber, here's why none of that matters.
What's significant about China is it's been growing at around 10% a year for 30 years in a row, which is the best growth performance that any country has ever had.
Any country ever. Back in its economic heyday 100 years ago, the U.S. economy was growing by around 4 or 5% a year. But Kroeber says that, too, is a dangerous comparison. That's because the U.S. was one of the first countries to industrialize. 100 years later, China finally got around to doing the same, and it inherited a lot of the know-how from the West.
So the later you come into the game, the more stuff you can just borrow or copy from the people who came before at very, very low cost. And that means that you can grow a lot faster.
But don't focus too much on growth, says Kroeber. Three decades ago, China's economy was small, but it was growing incredibly fast. Now, China's growth is starting to slow down, but its economy is the second largest in the world. So that means every percentage point of growth is worth exponentially more. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are higher in overseas trading this morning following the news from China that Rob was just talking about. More than 3% higher in Hong Kong. Up about 1.3% right now in Paris after a bond auctioned in Europe by the Eurozone bailout fund. About $2 billion worth of bonds were sold, and 8% of them were bought by Japan, which says they're still a good investment despite the fact that the bailout fund's credit rating was downgraded yesterday. Here's something that's been upgraded: global sales of cognac, which hit a record last year, according to the LA Times. Wall Street was closed yesterday for the holiday. On Friday, the Dow fell 48 points to close at 12,422.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Invest Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland, a European location offering a workforce that's well-educated, smart, and driven. More at investni.com/invest. By GoToMeeting by Citrix, bringing high-definition video conferencing to online meetings for face-to-face collaboration. More at GoToMeeting.com. And by Constant Contact, combining email marketing and social media for more customers and more time back on the clock. Learn more at ConstantContact.com.
We'll get quarterly earnings this morning from Citigroup, and if you dig into the report, you'll probably find phrases like this one from last quarter. The ongoing challenging macro environment negatively affected investor sentiment, leading to lower results in fixed income markets, equities, and investment banking during the quarter. Translation: all that money they lost wasn't their fault. Lucy Kellaway is a columnist for the Financial Times who compiles the best corporate mumbo jumbo each year, and she joins us now from London. Good morning.
Good morning.
So tell us about some of the winners in your annual list of corporate spin.
Well, there was a nice topical one on the best euphemism for firing people. And I awarded this to Nokia, who got rid of 17,000 people, saying it was managing them for value.
They don't want to say they're firing them or they're laying them off. They say managing for value.
Yeah, I must say, if I'd been managed for value, that wouldn't make me feel any better.
All right. So what else? Who else won this year?
Well, I gave the overall award to Manpower Group for describing itself in a way that I defy anybody to say what the company actually does. It goes like this. Our $22 billion company creates unique time to value through a comprehensive suite of innovative solutions that help clients win in the human age. Don't you love that human age as opposed to what? The dinosaur age?
That's right. Lucy, let me ask you. Why do they do this? Why do these corporations speak in this jargony way?
Well, I think they partly do it because it's really infectious. It's like a disease. It's the way that teenagers say like all the time. Business people say going forward. But I think there's something else, that actually nobody wants to get sued. No one wants to be held to account. So often if you're a CEO, saying nothing is actually makes rather a lot of sense. It's depressing, but true.
Lucy Kellaway is a columnist with the Financial Times. Lucy, thanks so much.
Not at all.
And finally, have you heard about Cupcake Gate, a brewing scandal in which a cupcake was confiscated at the airport in Las Vegas because of concerns about its gel-like icing? Well, the latest development comes from Providence, Rhode Island. A bakery there has cooked up a cupcake to get through airport security. According to Time magazine, the TSA-compliant cupcake, as it's called, has exactly 3 ounces of frosting and comes in a clear, quart-sized plastic bag. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Remember Mr. Rogers and those factory tours he did during the heyday of U.S. manufacturing?
I'd like to show you some people making crayons. Let's come along. I have a film of it here.
I'm Tess Vigeland. We'll hear what happened to some of those factories next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.